Right. So our first and only review of the day is going to be for the show Jujutsu Kaisen. Jujutsu Kaisen is an anime, relatively new anime. I know very hugely successful popular manga. I saw on its Wikipedia that it was the highest selling manga of all time, which was kind of very surprising. I thought if that title had been something like Demon Slayer or One Piece or something like that. But apparently this is the highest selling manga of all time is Jujutsu Kaisen. And what is Jujutsu Kaisen about? So you have a boy, Yuji is his name, and he swallows a cursed finger of a demon. You know, that happens sometimes. You know, you get hungry, you swallow some stuff there. And he swallows it, and he becomes cursed himself. So, you know, this is a world where there are curses and curse users. Curses are basically like demons. They kind of, you know, kind of like that. They kind of attach themselves to people. They can actually physically harm people there. And then some people are born with the ability to see these different curses, and they can develop a technique, become a curse user, and fight these various different curses, as you can see in this trailer here. So Yuji, he swallows a demon, swallows the finger of a demon, becomes cursed himself. And this demon, the finger that he swallows, is a very powerful demon, very, very powerful, very strong. And he becomes strong in turn by doing that. And then with these curse users, they go to a school to learn how to use their abilities, a Hogwarts of sorts or whatever, you know, other thing you kind of want to put in there of how to use their different abilities. And he has various different teachers that teach him how to use these different cursed abilities there. And there's people who are also at this school that are cursed users, but then some that have cursed energy that they can kind of put into different items. They're a little bit weaker there of some of the other characters. And then also you have the curses themselves that kind of have a grade, a class, a special grade curse, and then they kind of go from 1 through 3 there. You can see their level of strength there. Is that basically the general gist there, Tim, of the show there?
Yeah. You are given the kind of juxtaposition. Curses are bad. Curse users, or the curse hunters, the Jujutsu sorcerers, they're good. And it kind of goes from there.
Yeah. And there's also other schools there that you'll see that also teach different cities, because this one takes place in Tokyo, and then you also see another one in Kyoto there of other accursed user school there that you see there. But yeah, so I heard a lot about this show. You know, I've seen a lot of memes about it. I heard about its popularity. A lot of people have been talking about it. It's a big anime that people are really in love with. Big manga, obviously, highest selling manga of all time. And many people are really loving it. I'm going to pass around to some of you guys, get your thoughts on it. Sage, what are your thoughts on Jujutsu Kaisen?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, just after the first season, I wasn't super like big on it. Like I thought it was fun. You know, I thought it was an enjoyable action show. But I didn't find the characters to be like wholly dynamic or super, you know, super deep or interesting in a lot of ways. It was something I felt was a little bit more of a turn it on and I'm paying attention, but maybe I'm doing something else kind of a thing. And then the movie is what started to turn me around on that. And then season 2 exponentially, I'd say more so. And I think the big thing for me was it feels like a action show with some horror elements in that first season, that first stretch of the story. I think as it goes on, you start to feel like the horror starts to creep up and take hold a little bit more fully of what the tone is. Not that it's ever like scary or anything like that, but there is a certain tropiness to the slice of life, even almost to them living at the school in the first season and doing a little bit of your Harry Potter, your X-Men, right? Whatever gifted school for mutants that you or wizards that you have. But I do think the show exponentially grows once you get into that second season. I think the characters start to get a lot. There's just more there. And I will say, even when I wasn't as big on it earlier on, MAPPA is right now kind of the king of actual quality animation, although it's a whole other conversation about how they're getting that work out of the staff. But I've got some mixed feelings on parts of the show, but more positive the further we go.
All right.
I did like the first season, but I had a friend that was showing me the first season, and we got to like episode 12. I kind of puttered out. I eventually rewatched it when season 2 was coming up, and really glad I did, because season 2, I think, kind of takes the world building and the character building that world or season 1 spends so much time doing, and it explores all of these stakes that they spent all this time setting up. All these little threads that they were slowly introducing suddenly have prominence or some sort of weight to them. And I think it's a really fine payoff when you kind of see like all of these things, these it's a really interesting trope in anime where characters tend to think of themselves as exceptions, and a lot of times they are. Shonen pro tags, willpower is always the kind of big winner. Like if you just will it, it happens. And Jujutsu Kaisen is one of the rare cases where I feel like that's not the case. And I feel like it's really satisfying when season 2 gives some of that delivery. And especially sets up such massive stakes going forward that I know season 3 has been announced now, but I'm really interested to see how that's animated.
So starts off the show, you have Yuji who's the main character there. Much like with a lot of shonen anime protagonists there, he's got like kind of a code, a moral system there that he kind of lives by. And then you have his grandfather who's on his deathbed, and he gives kind of his final kind of wish, and that is, help the people that you can, do your best, save everyone, help the people that you can. And he kind of lives by that. He lives by his grandfather's dying wish, to help as many people as can, care about people, and especially that's also a concept that a lot of these Jujutsu users are not really too keen on. I mean, they'll help people when they can, but it's like their compassion for humanity isn't really there as much as Yuji's, as you see there. And like Tim said, you have a lot of people, like much like anime protagonists, who will stuff to happen, or just because of their sheer determination and strength, they'll just make kind of stuff happen there. And you see that, I think, a little bit with Yuji. I think as far as like him getting into things, him training, there's a lot of stuff of him in the school, of him getting used to this world, being the avatar character, introducing us to these different concepts there, which is somewhat interesting, I think. There, I know, Sage, you said kind of the school element was somewhat of the weakest element for you stuff in season 1. Why is that for you?
Well, partially it's a personal thing. It's a trope that I just feel I've seen so many times, and it's just something I'm a little tired of. I mean, even Harry Potter back in the day was something I was a little lukewarm on, partially just for the setting alone, which I know the internet's, I don't know if the internet's going to be happy with me saying that or not, but I guess it kind of it hit this certain slice of life tone at times where I felt like I was like, there's a couple, was it like two episodes, maybe even a little more? I might not have that exactly, but it's been like two or so episodes of like a baseball game at one point between the two schools. Some people probably love to see just the characters living their lives like that and kind of having this downtime. I could do without that completely. That it just to me it just doesn't add enough to the story. I mean, you could argue that some of the characters bond, maybe, that wouldn't know each other otherwise, but I don't know. I think there's just no way interesting ways to accomplish that mystery.
Now, what do you think about the school element here, Tim?
I think it doesn't add a tremendous amount, honestly, because, well, first of all, we don't really see them ever in a school environment where they're receiving like any sort of structure. Yuji's training is all done in isolation, and everyone else is under the assumption he's dead while he receives it. And everyone else's training is kind of shown in a brief montage off screen. And then when he's actually engaging in school, it's a school versus school kind of pseudo death match. And then they play baseball, and that seems to be the end of the school element, other than the uniforms that are magically enhanced to be super defense.
So season one, so getting into the show, I don't know if there was really much kind of motivating me to see episode by episode, like, you know, ooh, I'm interested to see kind of what happens next year as far as that goes. I think the action sequences, I think they're fun. You know, I like those, and those are really well done. But the character Yuji, I don't think he really particularly stands out all that much as a main leader protagonist there. I don't think he too much offers anything. And then even seeing the movie, so I did see the Jujutsu Kaisen Zero here. Yuta is, I think, a better main character, I think. I think he's got a little bit of a better backstory that you see here. I think it's more emotion there. That you see that I kind of liked and more connected with as opposed to Yuji. I thought that some of the, when you see kind of the other characters that he interacts with, the big kind of, I guess, star of the show, one of the big characters is kind of Gojo. People seem to thirst over that guy. And then the blonde hair guy, what's his name?
Nanami.
Nanami.
The other teacher, yeah.
Yeah, people seem to really, really thirst over those guys, and those seem to be kind of one of the big standouts there. I guess kind of the appeal there, Gojo. I mean, he's kind of like a Kakashi-type figure there a little bit. You know, very cool, very laid-back, powerful, strong there type of guy. And he's the one that really guides a lot of the first-year students there along their way of becoming Jujutsu sorcerers there. And the way it's kind of broken up is you have like first to three to third year students there is where you kind of have them learning there. And then eventually they'll become, you know, sorcerers there. And then they kind of get even more powerful than that. Because after sorcerers, they become part of like a stronger family. It's kind of like the next progression there when they become sorcerers there, Tim.
Yeah, there's so Jujutsu Society or Society until I think all of like the entire thing is it's three families, and you can be adopted by one of the big three families and become a member of them, essentially kind of like an employee for the family. But yeah, that's when you become a powerful enough sorcerer, you get an increase in your grade from like to like a special grade sorcerer, of which there's, I think, a handful in the world currently. And there's getting to work for some of the families, which is seen as kind of like the cushy, like if you care about status, if you care about appeal, vanity, which a lot of Jujutsu Society does, then that's kind of like your end goal.
Almost sounds like being a made man.
And there are sorcerers outside of Japan, for anybody who's unfamiliar with the setting, but by and large, cursed energy and sorcerers that can manipulate it predominantly appear in Japan. There's more in Japan than there are in the rest of the world combined, I think, is what they've said.
Okay. So the opportunity to expand it is there if they wanted to go to kind of other places. Okay. Okay. And how much of a difference is the anime between the manga there?
There is actually quite a bit of difference between the manga and the anime. Well, in some ways. In some ways, like the manga is actually kind of hard to decipher what's happening just because the fight scenes are so frenetic and chaotic that I think the animation really does a good job sussing out or taking a single frame and dilating it into a minute long sequence that actually really fully elevates what you're seeing and what you're able to understand from the material. Because there were more times than I can count where I read a chapter, went, what the fuck? And went back and reread the chapter, or I went and talked to somebody about the chapter because I couldn't figure out what was happening. And you don't really have that problem with the show. If you've watched an episode and you paid enough attention, you're going to get everything they want you to get. And there's little pieces of nuance that you can get that they actually scatter that upon a second watching, you're like, oh, that's a good piece of foreshadowing. And I think that is something that they take over well from the manga, because there's nothing if not foreshadowing in the earlier episodes or chapters. And I'm a couple chapters behind, but otherwise, knowing where season 3 is going to go, I think there is kind of that further elevation of the stakes that are kind of like a that upping of what they stand to lose, because we kind of saw in season two by the end of it, like they stand to lose a lot. I think how much are we discussing the final episodes of season two?
You can go ahead since the season two is
well right. With the season the end of season two, more or less the capital of Japan has been lost. The prime minister is like not, they don't know if the prime minister of Japan's alive. They don't know how many cities are intact. They know roughly 10 million cursed spirits are on the loose in the densest population center in Japan, and they're just they leave a lot of different plot threads in that final few moments of season two of like where things could go. And I think it was really well done, that kind of transition, because the chapter that it season two originally ended on, it wasn't as kind of nuanced in how many things it was able to kind of like how many plot threads it was able to leave out there before it went on a brief hiatus. So the manga, I think, does a really good job at pacing. It does a really good job at expanding upon scenes that were relatively brief. There are some kind of lighter hearted things, or just kind of like brief things that they kind of cut out, I think, for pacing, just because they don't really fit. And I'm okay with that. Like the baseball thing, I would have been okay if they left that out or like shortened it or condensed it. That was one of the things I didn't understand them expanding as much as they did, because that was, I think, two chapters of the manga. And it got two full episodes.
Yeah. It's like two full episodes here in the anime. Hmm. Yeah. And the inspirations for this show. So you can see a lot of like Naruto here. Kind of some of the school aspect with some of the characters. Gojo is very much like Kakashi. Also, I think the creator of this show also said very much inspired by Yu Yu Hakusho. We did a review for that a little while back in Yu Yu Hakusho, especially the third arc of Yu Yu Hakusho, where they kind of go after the rogue former spear detective there who turned evil. And a lot of the main antagonists of the show, so they kind of set up a lot of big antagonists in the first and second season. One of them being, so are these people, like, they are human beings, but they've kind of turned their cursed energy for evil there, or their curses that have gone wrong. Like, is that kind of what's going on with them?
Which ones specifically?
The ones that, like, the Frankenstein looking ones, the Frankenstein monster looking villains.
Okay, yeah, those are curses who have like just been they've been alive long enough to start developing like a consciousness and personality. Okay. Another thing that Jujutsu Kaisen borrows from heavily is the old Devil Man series, and that's something a lot of modern anime pull from, but kind of starting out with a human force and a like demonic force, and then slowly kind of adding layers of consciousness or humanity to the monsters, like over time developing them into like kind of fully thinking and feeling beings. That's definitely it that it kind of fills into as it goes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
I was gonna just add upon that, and that it's I do kind of like how they present these because there's curses that just generally curses in this world metastasize out of the negative cursed energy that all people, especially sorcerers, but all people tend to emanate. And it's basic fears, like fear of natural disasters like volcanic eruptions, or fear of other people, which is that Frankenstein monster. It's a kind of an amalgamation of the collective fears of other humans that people carry. And that's why he's kind of able to change his shape at will, because he is able to become any human or anything that resembles that facsimile of the soul. And so it's kind of an interesting representation, because you have these culminations of human fears distilled into a singular entity that you then have to kind of grapple with, like, okay, Volcano Man, who represents all volcanoes, wants to burn the world down. Let's see where that goes.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird element. I mean, when Sage brought up the horror element, thank you, by the way, Dante, thank you for the raid, man, much appreciated. And we bring the horror elements. You really get that with a lot of the creatures there, here, in kind of the world. Because I mentioned, like I said, these curses are kind of like all around this world. There's people who, you know, have maybe issues like with their back or neck. It's like, man, I got this sprain in my neck, man. What's wrong with me? And then you see like this curse that's just around them, like strangling the shit out of them. So you see that there, and they have to just get that removed there. So I kind of like a lot of the horror aspect, and it gets into a lot of freaky territory there when you see a lot, especially these creatures that kind of pop up there, especially when human beings, when they turn them into curses, like there's the one villain in it with the long gray white hair. What's his name? That character, the one that has all the stitches.
Mahito
there. He's got all those, yeah, stitches around. He turns human beings into curses, and he just like uses people as science experiments. He can, you know, make them as big as he can or small as he can, can consume people and then spit them out and then have them attack, you know, people. I thought that was, yeah, very much of a horrific aspect in the show. I think they worked with it well. I think kind of I was struggling with the kind of the show there is, I guess, yeah, with the first, I wasn't really that much connected with any of the characters. I didn't really dig as many of the characters like some people did there. Besides for the fight sequences there, I just thought, like, yeah, it's okay. I'm not really digging the hype so much there. And with the movie, I was talking to Sage about it. So what's your opinion? So do you think, you said the movie kind of more turned you around on the show?
Yeah, the movie's where I started to really get into it more. I mean, I think immediately Yuta as a protagonist has a, and again, just to you know, emphasize that, you know, it's a horror series. Have Yuta as a protagonist, to me, that backstory immediately emphasizes the horror in the story by kind of intertwining it with the main character and making it a part of him. It still maybe doesn't go as intensely as the second season does, but I feel like you start to get a lot more of a, I don't know, strong emotional connection to your protagonist. I think that helps so much when actually trying to invest in the world, which I yeah, for the whole first season I really had a hard time doing with Yuji. Like, I'm not saying I dislike him even, but I just felt he was very hard to kind of relate to or get in the headspace of. So Yuta as kind of probably my favorite character in the whole story, honestly. He's kind of what pulled me in that story, and the story of his childhood and the curse that's bonded to him in that film.
Yeah. I think his ability is cool. Like the sword, and he's got the demon that kind of comes out there. I think that's kind of even cooler than a lot of things kind of goes on there. What's your opinion on the movie there, Tim?
I think the movie, like when you watch season one and you get to the end of it, and you look at Yuji and compare him to Yuta at the end of the movie, I'm more compelled to want to follow Yuta's story because, I don't know, I feel like it's more got the tragedy kind of entwined with it, like as Sage said, but I you also get this character that's kind of, I think, more relatable, kind of, because he's more like the average viewer. He's not, Yuji, you have somebody who's ripped and strong and just incredibly powerful without really doing any exercise to attain it, and he's got this impeccable moral code that is infallible, and he's just incredibly kind and charismatic, and he doesn't really seem to have a whole lot of flaws other than caring too much. And in season two you get to see that bite him in the ass, and you get to see it bite him hard. And that's where I'm interested in following Yuji's story from now on, because his whole life, his whole execution was stayed on this promise that he could follow through with this shonen probe tag, willpower, unwavering resolve stuff. And like, oh yeah, I'm going to change how everything is always done, and I'm totally going to overcome Sukuna. And then he loses control for 1 minute. That whole fight. I think the manga does a bit job of kind of showing or stating that, but it was just like 1 minute that all of this was happening in. Mm. And it's kind of incredible that like it was able to just show him losing control for that single minute and killing, what was it, 50,000, 100,000 people. he leveled us like a circumference, or like it was like a 2 mile radius or something.
Yeah,
it's visible from space. So and just the raw emotion that you see Yuji have at the realization of what he's done, I thought that was a really compelling moment, and that was where I was like, okay, yeah, I think Yuji's kind of reaching that potential of what Yuta has. And then we see him towards the end of season one coming in. We're finally getting him seeing that integration into the main story. So I'm really excited for season three, if not anything else, but because we're going to see Yuta.
So seeing some of the discourse online about it, trying to follow people who are fans of the show, seems about one issue is that people have with the power scaling in the show, just in terms of how everybody kind of ranks in terms of that. And then I think somebody said even the creator of the show said that, yeah, it kind of is all over the place. Have you heard that before, Tim?
Yeah. And I've got kind of a mix of feelings on it, because like, yes, the power scaling is kind of weird, but two things kind of in response to that. One, a lot of shows have that. I mean, heck, we mentioned Demon Slayer earlier in the episode. That's a good example of where power scaling can get just kind of just like, oh, suddenly you can't cut through this guy's neck because it's as hard as a mountain or something. That happens with Jujutsu Kaisen, but you also have it explained that like, it doesn't take something fantastical to kill a sorcerer. It could be something as simple as like tripping at the wrong moment, or getting inside somebody's head, or predicting how things are going to flow. It's that kind of ingenuity tends to triumph overall. And based on where everything is in the show, I kind of I disagree with the discourse that it's kind of a problem. But currently in the manga, there is a problem where things are happening at such a fast pace, because the mangaka has stated that he wants to try to get to the end of the series. And that means that we're kind of getting things that are like an inexplicable, or like when power elevation happens and it's explained adequately, it's kind of interesting, because it's like utilizing the very minute details of someone's ability to the maximum potential. That's kind of interesting. But when you have stuff happening that doesn't really get a good explanation as to why or how it happened, or it doesn't have any kind of lead up to it, so it just kind of falls flat. And that's one thing I will worry about with season three, which is that the power scaling does get a little bit fucking wonky.
But how long is this supposed to last? He's trying to kind of rush to the ending. So is there like an ending date pretty soon coming? Or
I think he's got like another year or two of working on the manga left, based off of at least with the last chapter I've read. I can see the end maybe in the horizon somewhere. Realistically, I can see it translating into about four seasons and maybe another movie. But depending on how fast he's able to pump out chapters, he's covered a lot more than I thought he would in the last, because I like, it's been what, 3 years since season one came out now, or two. It's,
I think it was 2021, right?
Yeah. So about 3 years now. And he's covered a lot in that time.
Yeah. Because the first manga came out in 2019, and then and the anime television series premiered in October 2020. They had that kind of going on with it. But the powers are very interesting. See the different powers, see people's different abilities there. One guy, I mean, he's in the Jujutsu school. He's like Black Bolt. Like he kind of opens his mouth and then yells, and then that's where his cursed energy comes from. You got one person who's like a Tekken character here. He's a fucking panda there, who is a cursed corpse there. You got the one girl who got nails. She can like, you know, that's her whole thing. You know, she uses nails and uses cursed energy there. What would you say you guys' like favorite kind of ability here that you kind of see kind of used with a lot of these Jujutsu powers? Sage, what would you say?
My favorite is gonna be Yuta. His the kind of spirit of his dead friend forming into like a demon that follows him around. So he's because he's like a summoner and a swordsman combined together. I think there's a really cool, unique combination happening there.
Okay. What about you two?
I really like the idea of being able, like, your voice holding power. That one is really cool. If we're talking about pure joy or whimsy, I'm going to say Boogie Woogie, because that led to some genuinely amusing fight scenes. And just seeing every opponent's genuine surprise and how he was able to mess with them. Even when he's missing a hand and he goes to clap the stump and that manages to throw him off enough that he gets another hit. It's just phenomenal. I absolutely love that. See, this is a perfect clip for that, because this was a phenomenal fight. I really did like this. Probably was one of my favorite fights of season one.
Yeah, I love this as well. This is pretty good. And Boogie Woogie, he's the guy right here, shirt off there. It's kind of like if Jason Momoa was in Japan, basically, kind of like that, I guess you gotta say. Yeah. Totally. Very bro dude type of jujutsu user here. And this is it's kind of a great fight. And this is one of the antagonists of the show here. As you see that they're fighting.
And I really do like Gojo's ability, which is just the sheer concept of infinity, where he's able to expose people's minds to the idea of infinity, and it just stuns them for a while, like a good line, like more than a second, causes brain damage. And it's that, I think, is not something that I've seen a whole lot. Like, it's not wholly original, but it's also in the way that they depict infinity. I think it works really well, and it's really cool to see animated.
And Gojo is the character right there with the he's got his eyes always covered. He's got the hair. Sometimes he will take it off, and he's got the beautiful blue eyes, crystal blue eyes there that shine. Also there that you kind of see. Yeah,
it's like looking at a husky.
Yeah, you know, they're very enchanting. They draw you in, you know, very much so there. And this is his first meeting with Yuji in this scene right here. But it's fun to watch his fight sequences as well. It's kind of fun there to watch his stuff. So the second season, what are some of your thoughts about that second season of the show there?
Well, I thought it was because after season one, I went through, read the anime, watched the movie. And I was really kind of pleasantly surprised, not by just how much of an elevation we get in animation. You could really see the MAPPA budget and crunch in full effect here. Some of the fight scenes were just, it was amazing how much they managed to punch into the screen, to the point where I, like, if you go and hold the manga up side by side, you're like, how did they get this from this? That, mad props to them for that. In terms of storytelling, I really think season two kind of and the whole that I think it's two arcs that it covers, they really kind of elevate the level of tension there, because you have the flashback at the beginning of season two for the first four episodes, and that was actually I'm always wary when we do time jumps in shows, like, or flashback episodes, things like that. But I would have been okay with them staying in the past longer, which wholly surprised me. It was, I think, 8 chapters or 10 chapters, but they managed to expand it out quite a bit in a way where I was reading or watching the same thing I've read before, and it was hitting in different ways, which is always something you really want to see. I think Attack on Titan did that with the final seasons especially, but it's really always a nice thing to see.
Speaking about Studio MAPPA, people probably heard this. Jujutsu Kaisen animator Meltdown proves fundamental problem with anime's biggest studio. There was a lot of conversation about what happened with the second season. As Tim mentioned, a lot of the crunch that happened, the kind of put this season out. I think, Sage, didn't you show me a tweet from somebody that said that they were like wanted to kill themselves or, you know, self-delete or something like that?
Yeah, there was at least one animator that said that. I remember reading about another animator that had ended up in the hospital and like thrown up blood from overworking and exhaustion. Both the director of the second season of Jujutsu Kaisen and the director of the first season of Chainsaw Man have left to each form new independent studios. So, I mean, you know, they're starting to drive some people away. I mean, they still got a lot of staff that's only two people, but that could easily turn into a bigger trend.
Yeah, it says, this is from Screenwriter here. It says, for years, Studio MAPPA has received criticism for the allegedly poor treatment of animes, with the Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 production issues being the most recent and the most publicized. Numerous animes who have worked on season 2 have come out to claim the studio has given them short deadlines and poor compensation. Despite critical acclaim, a number of high profile titles such as Jujutsu Kaisen, Chainsaw Man, and Attack on Titan, MAPPA has come under fire for many of its workers. MAPPA animator,
I'm not sure.
Okay. Recently commented on Jujutsu Kaisen season 2 production, claiming an unreasonably tight schedule. And this is a tweet from the animator right here. It says, the worst thing is when all the staff work hard to complete a schedule that would normally be impossible to meet in time, and the people above them look at the results and think, I can't say anything, and fail to make improvements. I guess the cycle started when I completed one movie in 4 months. That's pretty great, though. I mean, that movie did look pretty good, though. I mean, yeah.
It did. They definitely deserve more time. But, it's been a problem for a long time. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the after Wit Studio did the first three seasons of Attack on Titan, they turned down continuing to animate it because the company that owned the IP wanted it done in such a short amount of time for the following year. And MAPPA was the only anime studio willing to take the contract with such a short window of work or of time to get the work done. And it's sad too, because a lot of the people that work at MAPPA used to work at Madhouse, and Madhouse kind of went away because of these exact problems. And MAPPA was a new studio founded by some people that left Madhouse for this very reason. It kind of seems like the cycle's repeating itself quite a bit.
Mm. But Sage, what did you think about season 2? You said season 2 is where you really kind of fell in love with the show.
Yeah, season 2, I think, is a big improvement. I mean, there's a few different reasons. One, I think it actually, for me, starts to feel like a horror story in a way that the first season never quite lived up to. I also think, and this is, you know, again, this is a personal thing, and I've complained about it for many anime in the past, but I do think the first season sometimes, like, there's certain powers like Gojo where they're a little more abstract and they do require characters explaining it to the audience just a little bit. But sometimes there's powers that characters will use that I can see just fine. And they give you these long, I mean, sometimes 5-minute monologues like mid fight or breaking the pacing up a little bit, where they're just giving you exposition about something that I could just understand by looking at it. And it, season 2 cuts down on that a lot. There is not nearly as much explaining every power everybody's using. I think that's part of what makes the action scenes a lot longer. I mean, even just at kind of at the beginning when you have the kind of mecha fight early on, there's nobody stopping to explain anything. The action just is allowed to flow and just continue and escalate and be dynamic without a lot of interruptions. I think that's something that makes season 2 a lot better. I think the horror makes season 2 a lot better. I think Yuji, I mean, he starts to finally be traumatized enough for me to care a little bit, which I think that's the big thing, is he hadn't gone through enough interesting moments. And I think he finally starts to have those happen to him. I also think that the stakes just feel like they're there in a way, whereas the first season, and part of it's maybe the presence of Gojo being a very overpowered character, and he's taken off the board very early on in the season. But there's a sense of stakes and danger, and people, and many characters do die, right? Like the kind of massacre, it should be the Shibuya massacre more than the Shibuya incident. But I felt like I started to feel feel like there was a sense of danger in the story that throughout the first season, I kind of was like, every time something seemed like it was going to be bad, I was like, eh, they'll probably be fine. I could think of five ways they could get out of this. Whereas, yeah, season two, it really felt like there was a threat and a danger that could not nearly as easily be over. It almost, in some ways, it almost feels like a different show to me.
Mm. A lot of people, I was talking to Dante, who's in the chat right here. He's a big fan of the show, that he feels like if he had a complaint about it, is that Yuji, he gets his ass saved a lot by the other characters. Do you see that a lot in the show?
Oh, I at least for sure in the first season. I think season two may be a little bit, but I think there are some Deus Ex Machina moments where like a character will come in. But I think the nice thing is that either that character that kind of comes in and saves him either dies or is at least maimed horribly. So it feels like he keeps being saved, but then he's got to watch that person just be either torn apart or killed. And not that he's not being saved over and over, but I think the fact that he is, and then that's the consequence over and over again, that driving in some psychological trauma, at least in presumably the next season, I think will lead to a base for a more interesting character.
Mm. What about you, Tim? Do you see that as a complaint?
Well, I think Yuji, in a way, like, it's kind of a nuanced thing, because if you take just season one as kind of an isolation thing, Yuji has not gone through the requisite tragedy for a hero's journey that really is compelling. But you take that precocious idealism that he goes into season one with, that he's going to be this exception to all these centuries and millennia of precedent. And then in season two, you find out that no, he's very much not an exception. He's not shit. And it's very much can go like the season one, like more like when they lose, they're not losing bad. And then they win after a little bit more. There wasn't really any kind of big losses. This season two kind of takes that expectation that things are going to continue to be all right and beats you over the head with it. Because they're like, oh, this is gonna turn. Oh, no, it doesn't. Oh, well, I'm sure this will work. Oh, no, they're dead. Within the flashback, how you think the star child is gonna be like, oh, this is gonna be good. Oh, she made it. She's in the sanctuary.
I do have to say, for that opening five episode flashback arc, I knew she was gonna die the first episode. Because they put the name of the story arc on the episode list as hidden inventory / premature death. And the second they introduced this character who people were hunting, I'm like, oh, I wonder who the premature death is going to be. So I feel like the title almost spoiled that a little bit.
Yeah, they could have named the arc a bit better there.
Season two. So I do think season two is better than season one. I was much more keen on there. I do like Yuji better in season two. I did like a great moment Yuji had in season one, though, to go back to that for a little bit, was the moment with the guy that he met that they were trying to investigate and to see, because he was kind of being taken in by the evil curses there. And his first reaction was just to, you know, treat him as a human being, you know, a kid that she saw, you know, been pretty much bullied his whole life there, and to really kind of take him in and be a friend to him. I thought that was a very good moment and sweet moment there. And I like that quite a bit. So in season two, it's much more, you see kind of these invasion of these kind of curses there. Very kind of similar kind of what happened to in Yu Yu Hakusho. You saw like kind of the invasion of the city with all these different demon kind of creatures there that kind of took over, and they have to kind of fight them there. I thought that was a great aspect there, almost like the zombie invasion type aspect in the show during its second season. Also, character deaths. You saw a lot of that in the second season as well. So that kind of showed there, because sometimes shows, and this is just in general, not even in an anime, will struggle with, even if you really like a character, taking him or her off the board. It's like, it's a fan favorite, we can't kill them off, it's a fan favorite character, it's like, nah, we gotta take them off the board. So I do appreciate them doing that in season two. I know we just read a crunch they had with the animators going on. Animation is very much improved, I think, in the second season. I think it's even more tighter, even more has much more flow in the second season as opposed to the first season there. And you see that in a lot of way, kind of they move and the battles there. I think that's really good. So that's really improved upon. Still though, I don't know if I don't know if I love this show like some people do. I don't know if it's a show that I can see myself kind of going back to as much as other people or the hype behind it. I get it somewhat. But amongst kind of other things, other this new anime I've been kind of introduced to, like Chainsaw Man, which we've talked about, or Demon Slayer, which I watched all of Demon Slayer. Then I watched the movie when it came out, the train film. I thought, okay, this is pretty good. But Jujutsu Kaisen, I don't really think connects with me all that much as a show there. What are kind of some of your major complaints there, Tim?
Well, I guess ultimately one of my bigger complaints would be that kind of power scaling, which is that like I've never been a huge fan of the character being able to take a blow and just being relatively unfazed by something that obviously had an incredible impact to the world around it. It's just like that the whole not doing anything and being unfazed by your attacks because I'm just that much more powerful. I feel like that's something that's utilized kind of a bit much. And I know it's supposed to make the payoff of when they finally take that one punch that sends them reeling and they're like, but how? But I feel like that's something that's used kind of a lot because I feel like almost every villain had that but how moment at least for a little bit there, and it's that's one of the nice things about the cursed spirits in season one, where for the most part like they were strong but they didn't have to give us any witty dialogue. They just had to be this weird eldritch horror that baffles the mind beyond comprehension.
So that's it, just the power scaling.
Well, some of the characters I think are at parts it gets a bit campy for me, but I think some of that camp goes out the window with season two, so that is one thing that I really like. One thing I didn't like was that they did write themselves into a corner with Gojo, where they made him so powerful that the only way that they could put him in this or move the story forward was to just shelve him for essentially what's going to be a season.
I did like kind of the beginning of season two. It seems like Yuji isn't around for like the beginning of season two. It's kind of gone. I was like, yeah, I was like, damn, I didn't even miss that dude. I was like, oh, that's right, he hasn't even been in these episodes.
Yuji in season one is honestly I think one of the weaker characters. I do really like how all the people that know what's what with Jujutsu Society, they have their wits about them. They're trying to assassinate this upstart fucker. They're like, Gojo's doesn't get to unilaterally decide this stuff. He's housing Satan. He's got the super devil inside him.
I cut you off there. What were you going to say before?
Oh, just that some of the camp honestly gets to me. But like with Toto's what's your favorite type of woman? Like I thought it was goofy. And I feel like it was, they spend a lot of time building gravity and then they inject levity sometimes at the wrong moment where it's like, okay, do you want me to be like anxious, trepidatious, or do you want me to be laughing at the funny man? Or do you want me to be doing both? Do you want me to be multifaceted? It seems to not know what it wants, I guess, is my thing.
Yeah. What are some of your biggest complaints there, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be one of them for sure. I think, much less of an issue in the second season. But yeah, throughout season one, I think there's a lot of, anime comedy that I think just doesn't work or feels kind of out of place, totally inconsistent. Some of the times they have the... heavy stylized animation change to like chibi figures or something along those lines. Some of that stuff really doesn't work for me. I think the There's some cool characters in the story, but I do think that a very large portion of the cast feels a bit stuck, you know, a little one note. And part, which part of why I'm like season two is because they kill like all those characters off for the most part. Yeah, so that was the thing for me. Just over explaining mechanics where I feel like you could just show it to me sometimes. And then, you know, this wasn't something I had trouble with, but I did read a lot of other people getting a little hung up on the timeline of exactly what happened and when to Geto and like exactly when is it Geto and when is it the brain parasite. I didn't really have an issue with that, but it did also seem like the chronology was a little confusing for some viewers. So as maybe just a more like out there complaint I've heard from others.
So, final thoughts, rating, say.
Yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately, I do enjoy the show. I think there was a vast improvement between seasons for me. Season one, I'd give it, I'd say probably just like a stream, like a kind of regular stream it. I didn't find it to be anything super special, and I did think it at the time, at least, I felt it was a little overhyped because people were talking about it like it was like the, you know, one of the greats already just off of that material, and I didn't really see it. But yeah, for the movie and then to season two, I thought we got to a much better place. I started to get into it a lot more. I'd say I'd give like season two like a regular tune in. It was like a one solid bump in rating for me.
Okay. All right. What about the movie? What would you give the movie?
The movie I'd say is a strong tune in as well. I'd be about at the same first as season two for me.
All right. Tim, what about you?
I'd say with the release of the movie and the release of season two, as well as where the direction of the manga is going, I'd say overall the whole IP is kind of a tune in for me because it's not perfect, but it doesn't need to be perfect. It's great at doing the story that it wants to tell, and it was a bit slow to start off, but I mean, hey, it gave us season two, and I had a lot of fun with season two, so I'd suggest people tune into this.
All right. For me, even after season two, I think I maybe give it a kind of a stronger stream it there. Maybe I think maybe I'll go back to see season three, see where that is. I still need to go back to Demon Slayer. I haven't watched any of Demon Slayer since the train movie. How many seasons of Demon Slayer has it been after the train film?
I think they just finished up season three. So season two was comprised of the train arc, which you saw, and then it got the Entertainment District arc, which is the second half of that season. And that I still think is pretty dang good. Season three, a lot of people are saying is better though. It changes up the side characters, and I mean the soundtrack is banging. And what's not good with a good soundtrack?
Yeah. And yeah, that's very true. What isn't good with good soundtrack? Yeah. So you would kind of
I
give it
still
a.
haven't seen. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, I actually haven't seen Demon Slayer at all yet, still.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. It's good. I think I didn't say it's good there. Yeah. So Tim, you said strong tune in for you?
Tune in, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, for me, yeah, I just kind of give it more of kind of a higher stream it there for myself. Yeah, I'll see kind of what's going on there with season three, maybe. I'll see how they turn things there. How long do you usually give an anime before you kind of give up on it?
I often, if I'm watching it totally on my own time and like I'm not doing it to come review it and I can just drop it, I usually give it as many episodes as it takes until they do the first obnoxiously pervy, horny side character moment, and then I usually.
Yeah. There's nobody who's it's not really anybody aggressively horny here, really.
No, not really. You don't have
That
that
was
problem with
one
this
thing I
show so
really
much.
liked about Jujutsu Kaisen. There's no overtly horny character. Toto's as much as you get, and it's
Yeah.
kind of
It's pretty tame. Toto was a little weird. The first time he showed up, I was like, is this going to be the character that I can't stand that makes me want to stop watching the show? But luckily, it doesn't go. So.
Yeah. And then he had that one his thing of like what woman he's into there, what's his type of woman. And she didn't seem like she so that took place in the past, right? Because when she shows up again, I thought she because it's thought she didn't age or something. So that all takes place just in the past when she shows up.
Yeah. The first 5 episodes of the season are like a flashback to when Gojo and Geto were students. Oh. And then after that, like, prophesized child gets like shot in the head, and that part wraps up. Because the Geto character, right, those first 5 episodes, and then the movie happens, he dies at the end of the movie, and then we don't get the reveal until a couple episodes into the Shibuya part of the story. But that's like, it's not Geto, it's some like brain parasite that we don't have the name for. But that with the stitches just on the head, Geto died at the end of the movie, and he hasn't even been in the show like at all, except for those flashback episodes.
That's something that I thought the show could have. I guess that adds to another critique is they could have been a little bit more clear on that reveal that it's not him. But I do really like the imagery of him peeling back his skull cap and the parasite that's controlling his body is just got a fucking mouth on it. That was really cool.
In the movie, I like the movie. I give the movie a tune in. I give the movie. I think it's a good movie there. But yeah, that's kind of it for me. Just a tune in for the movie and a stream it for the show. Myself there. I'm just don't know if I'm any love with any of the real characters strong enough to go like, yeah, this is one of my new favorite animes or story. You know, I don't know. Maybe focused on Yuta. Maybe I've been probably more into it. Maybe if they just did that from the beginning.
That's
But yeah.
why I'm excited for season 3, is because I presume, based on the end of 2, that he's going to have a much more focused central going forward.
Well, if he shows back up a lot, then maybe I'll tune in there. We'll see there.
I will say you do get to see like season 3, he's going to be at least in the first few episodes of that, and then sporadically throughout the rest of the series, because I believe like he and Gojo and I'm forgetting her name, but the lady who taught Toto is like the what's your favorite kind of woman? Those three are the most powerful characters in the series, and I guess Geto.
So the dude right here with the nunchucks or the thing right here. So this is him before he had the stitches and he got controlled by the parasite right here.
Yuta kills him in that, and then throughout the whole show, it's parasite.
So Sage gave it a tune in. Tim as well gave it a tune in, and I gave it a stream it for Jujutsu Kaisen.